Okay. So, firstly, we are going to do from the Mumon Khan. We have here case 46. Just hand out a couple of sheets. There you are. 1 and 2. Thank you. So, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the Mumon Khan again, and a little bit about Mumon, and also about Dogen. So, Mumon Khan was compiled and I guess it was published by Mumon, and that was in 1228. So all the, and there's, I think it's 50. I meant to bring the book in, but I didn't. Oh well. I think it's 50 koans, and maybe it's 48 koans in the Mumon Khan. And they were all, each of those koans is a mondo or conversation or a encounter between often a monk and a master, or between a master and a master. And they, all these occurred during the Tang Dynasty from about 600 AD onwards in China. And there are a number of collections of koans at that time. So the Mumon Khan was just one. So the Mumon Khan actually in English means the gateless gate. So it's called the gateless gate because we all see it as a gate. But actually when we truly see it, there's actually no gate. So it's called the gateless gate. Mumon lived from 1183 to 1260. And so he was in the Rinzai lineage. And of course, that had been taken to Japan about this time or slightly earlier. But Dogen is another central figure in Zen, in the Soto lineage from Japan. So Mumon was born in 1183. Dogen was born in 1200. And Mumon lived to 1260. Dogen only lived to 53 years of age and died in, so he died in 1253. Dogen went to China when he was 23 years old and returned from China when he was 27. So it was 1227 he returned. So he actually, although he's a central figure in Soto in Japan, he actually never met Mumon. But Dogen, when he was in China, collected as many koans as he could. In fact, there's a book, Dogen's 300 Koans, which has been published. But Dogen's student, who was Zinchi Kakushin, did go to China, and he did study under Mumon, and that fellow is credited with bringing the Mumon Khan back to Japan, and which is then why we have it now. And why we study the Mumon Khan. So that's a really pivotal time, actually, in Zen, because Dogen took Soto Zen, or Chan at the time, back to Japan. So reading the case, case 46, stepping forward on top of a pole. Case, Master Sekiko asked, how should you take a step on top of a 100-foot pole? Also, an eminent master of old said, even though one who is sitting on top of a 100-foot pole has entered realization, it is not yet real. One must step forward on top of a 100-foot pole and manifest the whole body through the world of 10 directions. Mumon's commentary. If you can step forward and turn your body around, there will be no place that you are not called honorable. Even so, just tell me, how do you step forward on top, forward on top of a 100-foot pole? Verse, making the eye and the forehead blind, one clings to the mark on the scale. Throwing away body and life, one blind person leads many blind people. So let's unpack this koan. Master Sekiko said, how should you step forward on top of a 100-foot pole? So Master Sekiko lived from 987 to 1040. He was a Rinzai lineage And of course he said, how should you step forward on top of a 100-foot pole? Stepping forward, so imagine being on top of a 100-foot pole. It's pretty high, it's about 30 meters high. So it's got to be at least six times higher than the ceiling of this building. And that'd be pretty scary on top of a 100-foot pole. And of course, when we take a step forward, we're stepping into what? We don't actually know what we're stepping into, space. So we think of that we're going to fall. And of course, if we actually were on top of a 100-foot pole, that might be what would happen. But of course, we're not actually on a real 100-foot pole. But the 100-foot pole, nonetheless, is real, because it's not that we're actually physically stepping off this pole, but it's actually what life actually is. We are always stepping forward off a 100-foot pole. And how do we take that? How do we step forward? We just go step, step, stepping forward off a 100-foot pole. In this life, we have absolutely no idea of what holds for us. We really don't know. Just think of all the changes that have happened in your life, all the unexpected turns, unexpected things that happen. We just go through this life with the expectation of what's going to happen. One thing follows the next. But we really have no idea what's going to happen. There's always changes and turns happening all the way through, and we really don't know. We actually don't know. We often have some inkling of what's going to happen, but mostly no idea. Our brain has a great predictive capacity. Of course, this is a survival tool. But in reality, we really don't know. We suffer anxiety about the future, anxiety about what might happen. Anxiety is a fear of an outcome that a story in our head has told us that is bad or might have undesirable consequences. But in truth, we really don't know. So stepping off the pole is complete acceptance. Complete acceptance of what is, and complete acceptance of what is to come. This complete acceptance is being at complete peace about life, about our future, and it is complete peace in here, in our heart, in our mind. This is our Zen journey, to complete acceptance, complete peace with whatever happens in our lives. It is completely stepping off the pole, being completely free, unconditioned. We are so conditioned by what society thinks we should become, who we should, how we should act, what we should do. Formless, like water, flowing in and out of spaces. Flowing in and out of spaces, water just flows in. It doesn't think about what it needs to do or how it does it. It just does it. So for us to flow in and out of spaces in our lives is something that happens intuitively or innately, rather than us getting lost in our thoughts. So how do we step off this pole? We have absolute commitment. When we start this journey, we are a bit hesitant, unsure. We do not commit completely. And as a consequence, we are only half in, 1 foot inside, 1 foot outside. It's a bit like testing the water with our finger. How hot is that? If we are only half in, as if we want an exit, so that if it doesn't work out, or having an escape plan or an excuse, if we practice Zen in this way, then we are trying to build a house with both hands behind our back. It's not an easy thing, impossible. And in that way, we will never progress. The way to make progress is total commitment. Total commitment is our determination. As a monastic, this is much easier. So if you're living in a monastery and you only have the things happening in the monastery, and you go and sit. It's very easy. But we live, but we are lay practitioners. We have commitments to family, work, society, and these are really important. They are our life. So our commitment is our determination to continue walking this path, to never giving up. Our commitment is to do the best in whatever circumstances we are in. This practice of Zen is complementary to our lay life. Our Zen practice is our mindfulness, our being present. For most people in society, they are truly not present. They are lost in their thoughts, expectations, stories, beliefs, delusions. You can truly be the best person you can be for those around you by following the Zen path. The tools we use are meditation. We endeavor to practice every day, or perhaps twice a day, or whatever works for you. This does not take us away from now, but brings us back to now. This mu, use it in all our spare spaces, spare time, when we'd otherwise be lost in our headspace. When we have total commitment, then progress is made. With total commitment, we reach our goals. There is no doubt about this. The Buddha talked about five different types of horses. Excuse me, I'm just going to put my timer on so I can see what's happening. The excellent horse that runs even before it sees the shadow of the whip. The good horse that runs as a whip brushes its hair. The poor horse that runs when it feels the pain of the whip. And the bad horse that waits until the pain penetrates its bones. How many of us live with the pain penetrating our bones? The pain of what's happening in our heads. This is the pain of samsara. The pain of our monkey mind, delusions, anxiety, and trauma. Be the excellent horse. Run without seeing the whip. Run free. Commitment, dedication, devotion, never giving up. And although this journey starts with us, and it is our journey, it's always our journey, this journey is really for all those that you love. Your family, your friends, all the people that you meet. So see the big picture. I'd like to talk a bit further on commitment. I like the story of a fellow, and this is out of the Zen Flesh, Zen Bones story. He dug a tunnel through a mountain. He was a samurai. He had an affair and then killed the husband or the wife. Husband and lady had an affair with when he was found out. And they both ran away together, but he had remorse and guilt for what had happened. So he left the lady and then was walking and then saw this mountain, which was a really dangerous pass. And so he decided, I'm going to build a tunnel through that mountain to help everybody else. So in atonement and in remorse, he started digging a tunnel, which he took up a pick, and it took him 30 years to dig through that mountain. So many of us live our lives in that tunnel, a bit like living in a cocoon. We are enclosed in our thoughts that are in our head. We truly do not see. We are like blind. Our own Zen journey is each day digging at that rock face. In fact, everything we do, we are always digging at that rock face. But in our Zen journey, when we're digging at that rock face, we had that pick, we truly do not know when suddenly we'll get through and see the other side. When we make that hit with a pick and then the light shines in. That is the Kensho experience, when we start seeing our true self. We don't know when that's going to happen. It's unknown. It could be the next minute, it could be the next hour, it could be the next day, it could be the next year. We do not know. The rock and rock face and pick are just mu. Digging at the rock face is not different from jumping, from stepping off that 100-foot pole. We are continuously stepping off the top of the pole, continuously stepping into the unknown. Similarly, using mu, we do not know when a Kensho experience will happen. But at some stage, if we just continue, there will be a stream of light from a hole made with a pick. When we are digging, if we keep thinking about the end of the tunnel, we will be not focused on digging. We will become bored, have expectations, become disappointed, and more than likely, give up. So when we are digging or concentrating on mu, that is all we are doing. Nothing else, just mu. There is nothing else, just the pick, the rock, just mu. When we start this journey with the intention of enlightenment, then we forget about enlightenment and just concentrate on mu. Keeping our eye on enlightenment rather than mu means that we have a much harder time realizing mu. The correct approach is simply to follow the path, just mu, nothing else, no intellectual appreciation, no learning about Zen. Just a complete letting go, just focusing on our meditation and mu. This is so important. Some of us, when we start to see emptiness, we get frightened by this. The emptiness is the losing of self. And this is very scary. In fact, it's really scary for some people. We do not trust. And this lack of trust holds us back. We also worry about our lack of usual props and supports. These props and supports are our delusions and beliefs, or our cherished delusions, as Mumon calls them. For example, our belief perhaps in a god, or a belief in a Buddha, or a belief in the way society works. It can be truly scary letting go of these. Some people pull back at this point. If this happens to you, the best advice is to jump straight back into emptiness. There's actually nothing you will lose, and you will gain immeasurably. When confronting emptiness, one should just step straight off the pole into emptiness. Just let everything go. All will be all right. Have faith. Truly, when you jump into emptiness, you are on the way home. Not the small home or ego self that we're used to, but the big mind home or true self, a marvelous place to be. So continuing with the koan. Also, an eminent master of old said, even though one is sitting on top of a 100-foot pole, has entered realization, it is not yet real. Before Kensho, when all is dual, that is a me and a you, and everything is separate, this is indicated by the flat line on the graph, which I had in the introductory lectures. This is samsara. This is our suffering. Life is not giving us what we want, and we're not wanting what we get. And even when we get what we want, we become bored with it and then don't want it anymore. Here we are attached to concepts of self, and self is actualized, and the self actualizes the myriad things. This is called delusion. When we start our Zen journey, if we do not give up and do not slacken off and remain focused on mu, then at some stage we're going to have a Kensho experience, which is this position, represented by a vertical line. We've had a glimpse of no self, of the non-dual universe, of emptiness. But all our life experiences to this, so that this is just one experience among all our life experiences. So it is not yet real, not yet integrated, not incorporated. It's a bit like climbing a mountain. We've now reached the top. We've had our Kensho experience. But the tricky bit, if you've done much climbing of mountains, it's easy to actually climb up. But actually climbing down is harder because you're sort of going down backwards and your footholds are a little bit harder. So climbing back down, at least for me, it's more difficult going back down. Going back down the mountain is actually the integration of that experience into our lives. So we don't stay here, we actually come back to combination of both of all of it. So actually we make it real in our life. Returning to normality, returning to normality. When we first have a Kensho experience, we have only had one experience of the non-dual. It has not permeated our existence. So our usual dualistic way of thinking persists. The deeper our Kensho experience, the greater it permeates our life. And the more we see true self, the bucket has been partly emptied, but there's still a lot more work to do. So at Zambo Zen, we use the Koan collections, which have been really collected by all our ancestors, of which Dogen and Mumon are those. And we use that to integrate that experience through our life. A long process. But by continuing bringing ourselves back to the non-dual, it steadily becomes integrated. Concepts and delusions fall away. When we continue our practice, we have further Kensho experiences and realizations. So going forward, one must step forward on top of a 100-foot pole and manifest the whole body through the world of 10 directions. So I'd like to refer to Koan 77 on the Blue Cliff Record, which just to give you this Koan, is in Mumon Khan, but it's also in the Blue Cliff Record, and it's also in the Shoryoku, which is a Book of Enlightenment. So a number of the koans actually repeated through the collection. But the wording is sometimes slightly different. So in Koan 77, or the Blue Cliff Record, Choza said, "One must step forward on top of the 100-foot pole. The world of 10 directions is your whole body." Different to the wording which you have on the paper. For most of us, when we think of ourself, we see our small self, just this body, mind, as separate from everything else. This is delusion. This is the self manifesting the myriad phenomena, to use Dogen's words. The underlying truth is that there is absolutely no separation of anything. We are not separate in any way. Any thoughts of us as separate is delusion. You cannot truly get this intellectually. One has to experience this one's self. I could tell you conceptually that we're all made of atoms. Just a big soup of atoms is the whole universe. But everything is atoms. The air is atoms. Concrete is atoms. This is atoms. This is atoms. And how do these atoms know that anything's separate from anything else? The only thing that is separating us from anything else is what's happening inside our head. But by telling you this, might you get it a little, but to truly see it, you must realize it yourself. This is our journey, our struggle. I truly wish that I could give each of you the moon. That is, I truly wish I could show and give it to each of you. To give you true self, to give you absolute peace of mind. But even if I could give it to you, it would not mean anything. Because it's the struggle that each of us goes through on this journey that is important. This struggle is an essential part of the journey. The struggle teaches us what is needed, how to proceed, how to never give up. We struggle against immense odds on this journey. And this is part of our character development. So if you're struggling on this journey, realize that everybody, all the ancestors, Buddha, all the way through, everybody, Mumon sat for 6 years working on Mu. Realize that everybody has the same struggle. We all struggle. This is absolutely normal. The world of 10 directions is your whole body. Each of you is James. I am each of you. When I refer to myself, myself is the entire universe. Not just this thing here, but the whole lot. Each of you is the entire universe. Shakyamuni Buddha is sitting here right now. Shakyamuni is sitting on each of your cushions right now. If you think of Shakyamuni as somewhere else, that is delusion. Stepping forward off the pole, stepping is his cup. Having a drink is stepping off this pole. This bit of wood is stepping off the pole. Stepping is the entire universe. Stepping is all the children killed in Gaza and Ukraine. Stepping is all the harm caused in the world. Stepping is all the wonderful things that happen in this world. When we recite Sangamon, which we recited this morning, we say, all the wrong caused by me. Please do not see me as small self, but see me as big me. Me is the entire universe. All past, all future, is all just now. I'd like to diverge a little bit more. In the case cited above, case 77, Blue Cliff Record, the monk, responding to what Chosa said, how should one step forward off a 100-foot pole? How do you actually step forward off a 100-foot pole? And Sar said, mountains of Ro, waters of Ray. The monk said, I don't understand. Sar said, four seas and five lakes are all under imperial reign. And that's the end of that koan. And they're like all like that. Because they really are pushing you. Mountains of Ro are the whole universe. The mountains of Ro are whales frolicking off Point Lookout in the ocean. Our children running along the beach. Our missiles flying through the air. Each of you are the whales, the mountains, the air, the children, the missiles. There is no duality. Duality is a concept. Non-duality is a concept. Enlightenment is a concept. Delusion is a concept. Dogen expresses it very nicely. To carry the self forward and illuminate the myriad things To carry the self forward and illuminate the myriad things is delusion. In other words, the self illuminating these things is delusion. That the myriad things come forth and illuminate the self is awakening. Self, 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 self. Really important. Moving on, Mumon's commentary. If you can step forward and turn your body around, there will be no place where you are not called honourable. Stepping forth and turning your body around is complete freedom. Not bound by expectations. Not bound by what you think other people think of you. Not bound by society's norms. Not bound by our conditioning. When you are truly free, you truly see I alone. We dwell in oneness. We act accordingly, act in a compassionate way to follow the three pure precepts as best we can. And this actually happens without our thinking. It happens intuitively. We simply, in our brain, already knows what the right things to do are. It's our mind that gets in the way. The three pure precepts are to first do no harm. Second one is to do good. And the third one is to save all beings. But saving all beings, you need to see what all beings is. Even so, continuing with the koan, even so, just tell me, how do you step forward on top of a 100-foot pole? I've said too much. Mumon is absolutely right. We tend to say way too much in Zen. Even this talk is way too much. For those working on Mu and pre-Kensho, I cannot emphasize the importance of sitting. Just sitting. No intellectual appreciation, no discussions, no reading. Kensho is your own, your very own experience. Can't be anything else. It has your own experience. Once we have passed Kensho, we need to continue sitting to integrate this, to make it real. At this stage, starting to read is important. Reading is not so that we can get an intellectual appreciation of it, but for us to compare our experiences that we've had with the experience of past masters. And we can then see where we're at on this journey and what we need to then do to help us clarify the matter further. The whole point of all the koans is to clarify, to awaken us, to let all the stuff, and I call it in a way, crap or shit, whatever you like we have in our head, to let it go. It is such a wonderful journey. Verse. Mumon has a special way of writing the whole Zen journey in four lines. And you'll find through the Mumon Khan, he's pretty good at it. He somehow puts the whole journey into four lines. So here we go again. Making the eye on the forehead blind, one clings to the mark on the scale. So the eye on the forehead refers to our intuition or insight. Our seeing and our, in a way, knowing or realizing without anything in the way. So how do we make the eye on the forehead blind? This is the way most of us live. The full bucket, our monkey mind, our endless stream of thoughts blinds our intuition, our insight. We cling to duality, to comparison, to judgment, to expectation, to gain, to loss. All this is like living in hell. Even when we are undertaking this Zen journey, we are clinging to the mark on the scale. So the mark on the scale is our comparing ourselves with everything else the whole time, to seeing ourselves as separate. So we're always comparing how we are. How do I look? How's my hair today? Have I got the right colour clothes on? How's my car look? So many different things. They've got a better car than me. There is nothing to gain. Even when we're undertaking this Zen journey, we cling to the mark on the scale. As we undertake koans, we see our success or failure in our ability to pass the koans, and we see that as a reflection of ourself. Even in our lives, we determine our success or failure in our endeavors as a reflection upon ourselves. This is delusion. We take it personally. We see it as approval or disapproval. of ourselves. So when we're undertaking the current introspection, do not see currents as a pass or fail, but simply as a tool for further introspection. When not passing a current, it is not a reflection upon your ability or yourself, but a chance to clarify the matter further. We should embrace failure as much as we embrace success. Be happy in your failures. Embrace them. Let go of our bindings, our conditioning. Let go of society's expectations that we have adopted. There is nothing to gain on this journey, only a letting go, a complete letting go. So when not passing a current, it is not about you, but a simple sign that there is more to let go of. Be happy that you had the chance to see this. Throwing away body and life, one blind person leads many blind people. If you sit in absolute faith and complete trust that you are doing the right action and taking the right course, then this will happen. If you have great determination, great faith, and great doubt, you will have a Kensho experience. Koen Yamada said, if all three are present, and that is great doubt, great determination, and great faith, however, we will be more likely to miss the ground with a hammer than would be to miss enlightenment. In other words, I'm more likely, if I get a hammer and start hitting to the ground, there's no way I'm not going to hit the ground. The same, if you have great doubt, great faith, and great determination in this journey, it is impossible for you not to have a Kensho experience. The trouble is that most of us are half in, half out, testing the water, not completely committed. But if you just commit and trust and follow the process, it's going to happen. Throwing away body and life is not throwing away our body and life, as in killing myself, but simply throwing away all of our attachments. Life is an attachment. Body is an attachment. So we're throwing away our conditioning and our cherished delusions. And that is actually complete freedom. And that is complete peace. And that is complete acceptance. And that is seeing emptiness. And that is exactly the same as seeing non-duality. Letting go of all our attachments, we are blind. To see, there needs to be a seer and a seen. That is a me and a you. So someone seeing and someone seen. It's duality. Totally blind. Blind to delusions. Blind to enlightenment. Blind to any achievement. Blind to any failure. All is simply one unfolding dance. And that is actually saying way too much. One blind person leads many blind people. Mumon has a wonderful way with words. So this is an absolutely wonderful and amazing journey, and thank you.